ஸ்ரீகணேஷாய நமஹ. ஸ்ரீ சரஸ்வத்யை நமஹ. ஸ்ரீ சத்குருப்யோ நமஹ. சமஸ்த ஜன கல்யாணே நிரதம் கருணாமயம் நமாமி சின்மயம் தேவம் சத்குரும் ப்ரஹ்மவித்வரம். மனோஜவம் மாருததுல்யவேகம் ஜிதேந்திரியம் புத்திமதாம் வரிஷ்டம் வாதாத்மஜம் வானரயூதமுக்யம் ஸ்ரீராமதூதம் சிரசா நமாமி. சந்தோஷிணீ ஜெகன்மாதா மமசௌபாக்யவ்ருத்தயே நமஸ்கரோமி பக்த்யா த்வாம் பிரசன்னா வரதா பவ. சங்கரம் சங்கராச்சாரியம் கேசவம் பாதராயணம் சூத்ரபாஷ்ய க்ருதௌ வந்தே பகவந்தௌ புனப்புனஹ. ஓம் நம ப்ரணவார்த்தாய சுத்தஜானைகமூர்த்தயே நிர்மலாய பிரசாந்தாய தக்ஷிணாமூர்த்தயே நமஹ. சச்சிதானந்தரூபாய விஸ்வோத்பத்யாதிஹேதவே தாபத்ரய விநாசாய ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய வயம் நமஹ. நிலாம்புஜஶ்யாமளகோமளங்கம் சீதாசமாரோபிதவாமபாகம் பாணௌ மஹாசாயகசாருசாபம் நமாமி ராமம் ரகுவம்சநாதம். சதுர்விதா பஜந்தே மாம் ஜனா சுகிருதினோர்ஜுன ஆர்த்தா ஜிஜ்ஞாசு அர்த்தார்த்தி ஞானீச்ச பரதர்ஷப. ஸோ ஈச் ஒன் ஆஃப் அஸ் இன் அவர் லைஃப் வி சீக் செக்யூரிட்டி, பர்மனன்ஸ் and contentment. These are the three things we are seeking. We want to be secure. Even if we get a job, we want a secure job and a permanent job. And then what is the bottom line? We want to be contented, satisfied, totally relaxed. But all these three we are seeking at the wrong place. So whatever that is finite end, na alpe sukhamasti, in finitude there is no sukham. Yo vai bhuma tat amrutam, only in infinitude there is sukham. So complete contentment we can gain only when we attain Bhagavan, the Lord, infinitude. All finite gains, there is no security, there is no permanence, there is no contentment. So, but at the same time, we do not know this, therefore we seek always finitude, temporary joy, temporary pleasure. This is how we go. So as long as we seek this joy outside of us, then we will not get what we really want, The three, that is the security, permanence, and satisfaction. So this is called samsara dukkha. And Bhagavan said the remedy is bhakti. Bhakti is the way to gain this moksha. And those bhaktas are also, Bhagavan divided into four. That is Artharthi Jnani, Artha Jnani. These are the four categories. And out of the four, the fourth one, Jnani, is the best. Udara Sarvaye Vete, Jnani tu Atmaiva Me Matap. Jnani and myself, there is no difference. Bahunam Janmanamande Jnanavanmam Prabhatyade Vasudevas Sarvamiti Samhatma Sudurlabha. So such a Mahatma who attained this perfection is very rare. But that doesn't mean you should not start now, okay? The journey has to start. Don't postpone it. So this much we saw yesterday. Now let us read 20th verse. Kamai stai stai hritat jnana. Prapatyante nya devata. Tam tam niyama masthaya prakritya niyata swaya Bhagavan divides this bhakti into two, that is twofold. One is sakama bhakti, another is nishkama bhakti. From verse number 20th to 26, Bhagavan is going to talk about sakama bhakti. From 27th to 30th verse, he gives the nishkama bhakti. So, sakama bhakti means using bhakti as a means for finite goal of life. Called sakama bhakti. For dharma, artha, kama, purushartha. Dharma, artha, kama. Moksha is not. So this is sakama bhakti. So take sakama bhakti means with a desire in mind, we worship the Lord. So a particular form is given to the Lord. Even though Bhagavan is formless, infinite is his nature, but for our sake, we give a form to the Lord. And this is called Saka, Sarupa Bhakti. So Sakama Bhakti, with the desire, we approach the Lord for fulfillment. All Karmakanda is entirely taking care of this sakama bhakti. Surga kamo ijeta, vitta kamo ijeta, putra kamo ijeta. So people who are desirous of putra, they should do this particular itya, putra kama ishtiyaga. People who wants to go to heaven, they perform this itya. People who want vittam, wealth, prosperity, then they had to perform this yajna. People who want to be powerful, ministers, prime minister, all that, then they do ashwamedha yaga. Like this, there are different type of yajnas, karmas, to fulfill our kama desire. This is called sakama bhakti. So that is why, see, in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna is depicted as infinite truth. Every other gods, they are all finitude. So that is the style of Purana also. In all Puranas, if you read Vishnu Purana, Vishnu is infinite truth, Brahman. Then Lord Shiva become finite. Then Brahmaji is number three, and the other gods are all number four, number five, like that it is. Then if you read Devi Puranam, Devi is infinite truth, and then Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, they are all sitting down. The same way, Shiva Puranam, if you read, Lord Shiva is the highest, and then even Vishnu and Brahmaji, they are all number two. Then Ganesha Puranam, Ganesha is number one, and all others are number two, number three, like that. So, there is that truth is one. But whatever form you worship, how you worship, with what attitude you worship, that makes it infinite or finite. So this is the point. So here Bhagavan says, Kamaistaiste hridajnanaha pravatyante anyadevataha. Because of our, deprived of our knowledge, apahrita jnanaha. So jnanam is taken away. Our ability to think is gone away because of our what? Varieties of cravings. Suppose we are obsessed with one desire. Then so many people will tell you, don't do that, don't do this. But we will not hear, isn't it? Suppose a youngster fall in love with one girl, you know. At that time, if you tell that boy, Beta, I'm telling you, this girl you fall in love with, she has got a squint eye. You don't know. That nobody has told you. So, but suppose this person has fallen in love with her, he will not take it seriously. He will say, Mama, she has got a squint eye, she will be able to see heaven and earth one time, you see. So he will justify that. No, not only that, she has got a hunchback also, the back. Then he will say she is taking the burden of the world on her back. So to that person, when he is completely obsessed with that person, whatever you say, it doesn't matter. He will justify. So this is called apakrita jnana. His ability to think is completely gone. This is true with any desire. Once we get obsessed with that desire, there is no way you can listen to good advice. All of them become your enemies, your friends, your relatives, everybody become your enemies until you get that object. But once you get that object, then afterward, that nasha uttar gaya na, uske baad, then you start thinking, oh, I should have listened to them, start regretting, but it will be too late. So this is what Bhagavan says, because of our desire, kamaistaiste hridajnanaha pravatyante anyadevataha. These people propitiate anyadevata, means finite gods. So here Krishna represents infinite truth. Instead of Bhagavan Krishna, the infinite truth, Brahman, salvation. Infinite truth stands for moksha. Instead of seeking moksha, they go for temporary satisfaction, temporary solution, that is finite gods. So they propitiate. Then what happened? Tam niyamam asthaya. Each god has got their own niyama is there. So if it is there are so many vratams people undertake. What are the vratam? Suppose you are a Hanumat Upasaka. So Hanuman Upasaka, Saturday or Tuesday, There are certain vratam you have to observe and you have to do puja. Then Shodashopachara puja is there that you have to practice. And tam tam nivam astaya. Suppose there are Monday vratam is there, Tuesday vratam, Wednesday vratam, the Thursday vratam. Friday also there are Devi Upasakas. They do fasting on Friday and then propitiate Devi. And if you are a Sivitya Upasaka, there are so many levels of pujas are there. By the time they get Shodashi, they have to purify themselves so many ways. And then that observation. Not only that, you have to know what type of puja is to be offered, what type of flower is to be offered, what mala is to be made for which god, and what vastram is to be given. And not only that, naivedyam also there are niyamas are there. Yeah, so Bhagavan Vishnu, it is palpayasam, and then if it is Ganesha Modagam, then Hanumanji, it is Vadai. So like that, or in other gods, Shundal, like this different Pongal, Ven Pongal, Sweet Pongal, Aditya Devi, it is, I think, Kudanna, the curd rice, and then this Sweet Pongal also. Both, she likes it. So like that, you have to know, tam tam niyamamasthaya. There is a rule. So we have to follow that. So with that, because of their desire to achieve certain finite end, because of their desire, they follow these devatas, they worship these devatas, and following certain discipline and rules, tam tam niyamamasthaya prakritya niyada svaya. And being constrained by their own inborn nature because of their desire. So this is one way of explaining this verse. Tam tam niyamamasthaya prakritya niyada svaya. Niyamita svayaha atmiyaya. Janmandararjita samskara visheshana niyataha ityartaha. So why you worship this particular god? Because that's why our religion has given so many varieties of god. Each one of us, by birth, we take a liking to a particular god, isn't it? These are all because of our purva janmarjita samskara. Last birth, that we must have done something or we must have prayed to a particular god, that samskara carry forward is in this life. And you can see your own children, there may be four children at home, each one likes different gods, isn't it? They worship also different. I like Ganesha, I like Hanuman, I like Rama, I like Krishna, I like these people. Children also, you can see the difference because of their purva samskara. Now this is one way of explaining. Then in our mundane world also, we can think of this example, because the people who wants to gain some power, position, status, or simple, suppose you want to go and put up a factory in India, let us say. This is your fulfillment of desire. Now for that you have to propitiate devatas in India. What are the devatas? Some ministers, this industrial minister, or there are in charge, devatas are in charge, isn't it? Those devatas are given power. See, the president or prime minister is supreme, that is infinite. And he has delegated power to different department. They are all called devatas. And heading that department is called devata. Now to that person there are tam niyamamastaya. Each one has got some expectation from you. What is that? How much money you give? You know, there are rates are there. So if it is for a simple license, this much money. If it is for, you know, putting up a factory, this much money. Like there are rates are there. That's called niyamam. Niyamam are there. And according to that, you have to go and propitiate that particular devata. And carry that briefcase full of currency note. And you give it under the table, it seems, not over the table. And they will lift it and see, ah, theek hai, kaam ho jayenge. They will say, your work will be done. So, tam tam nivamastaya prakritya niyatasaya. So, in that respect also, if you look at it, it is applicable, this theory. Because the basic point is what? We are all having our own desires, and fulfillment of desire, we want to make use of Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is not complaining. Okay, he said, Udara sarva yevete. They are all bhaktas. But they are all sagama bhaktas. But it doesn't matter. They are coming to me. I am happy. But afterwards, Bhagavan is going to tell you what is this difficulty in that, the limitations. Then, continuing. Yo-yo yam-yam tanum bhaktaha. Sraddhayarchitumichyati. Tasya tasya chalam shraddham. Tameva vidadhamyaham. Yo-yo yam-yam tanum bhaktaha shraddhayarchitumichyati. So, those people, whatever be their altar of worship, see, Bhagavan is not making any distinction. You worship only this, then I'll bless you, nothing like that. Whatever, wherever your mind is attached or have devotion, that particular deity or altar, you worship with sincerity. That's why if you study Vedanta, if you study Vedanta, you become a better Christian, a better Muslim, a better Buddhist, you know. Because you understand the whole basis of the whole thing, and in the light of which you will see oneness in everything. And once you appreciate that oneness, it doesn't matter what name you give to the Lord. Whether you give the name as Brahman or Allah or Father in the heaven or Buddha, it doesn't make any difference to you. So this appreciation is there. So Bhagavan, with that respect, in that vision, from that height of vision, he is telling, whatever be your altar of worship, bhaktaha shraddhayarchitumichyati, tasya tasya chalam shraddham, tameva vidadamyaham. So, he will reinforce his faith in that particular altar. And Bhagavan give him that achalam shraddham. So, unaltered bhakti, shraddha, he will unswerving faith to each devotee who seeks to worship with faith, whatever divine form, according to his choice. So, tasya tasya chalam shraddham, tameva vidadhamyaham. So even though the devotees are worshipping different semi-gods for the fulfillment of desire, Bhagavan says, I bless them with their fulfillment of desire. Oh, that means what? Bhagavan is the one who gives power to all other devatas for them to bless the devotees. So this is why Akashat Patitam Toyam Yatha Gacchati Sagaram Sarvadeva Namaskaraha Keshavam Pratigacchati. So like the heaven poured down in the form of rain, Akashat Patitam Toyam, that water that is falling on the top of the mountains trickle down and it becomes small rivulets and then becomes stream, then become river, and finally it reaches the source, that is ocean. The same way, all the form of worship, whatever way you do it, finally it reaches Bhagavan. Keshavam Pradigacchati. Keshava Sabda is also means Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. All the three. Ka is Brahman. Isha means Shiva. Keshava. Va is Vishnu. So all the three in one is called Keshava. That means Brahman. Ultimately reaches Brahman, the reality. So yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha shaddhayarchidumichyati tasya tasya chalam shaddham tameva vidadhamyaham. Now why? Because how do you say this? He gives a reason. Sataya shaddhaya yuktaha tasya aradhana mihate lapate cha tatah kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. So sataya shaddhaya yuktaha tasya aradhana ihate. Now possessed of that faith, he desires the worship of that form. And from that divinity, he secures his objects of desire. Lepate cha tatak kaman. Why? I myself has ordained them. Mayaiva vihitan hitan. Now, think about it. Suppose you apply for a visa, green card. The immigration officer grant you that visa after taking care of all the paperwork. And the power for that immigration officer to give your visa has come from where? The president, isn't it? And if you are naturalized, if you got a passport also, then what they do? They will show you also. The president is welcoming you, isn't it? You have become the citizen. So even though the passport was issued by locally, but the power for him to execute that job has come from where? From the president. Here also, Bhagavan says, the devatas have the power to bless you, to give you this particular object of your desire because of my blessings. Without his delegating that power, they will not have the ability to give the desired objects. It is true also. Now think about it, this Vishayaha. All our sense perceptions, all our organs of perception, that is Jnanendriyas, Karmendriyas, all of them are like devatas, you see. Because devata means what? Jyotanatmikam devata. So that which illumines you. Though eyes are illumining the world of form and colors, The ears are illumining the world of sound and music. And the same way, the skin is illumining the world of touch and feeling. And that the tongue is the one that is illumining the world of taste, very important instrument. Then the nose is the world of illumining the world of fragrance, odor, etc. So this, they are all called devatas. Now from where they got the power? The power has come from Paramatma, the consciousness. If consciousness is not behind each instrument, they will not have function, isn't it? If maybe you are seeing it, open your eyes, you are seeing it. Suppose the mind is not behind a pair of eyes, even an elephant can walk through you, you won't see it. Let's say that day I waved you in the shopping mall, did you see it? What waving? I didn't see it. Your mind was somewhere else, isn't it? So unless that Paramatma blesses us, we will not be able to experience any of the sense perceptions, either it is seeing or hearing or touching or tasting. That is why from Monday through Friday, the husband never complained about breakfast, isn't it? Whatever you give, he will gulp it and run. Whatever packet that you gave, he takes it and run. Why? His mind is not there. He is thinking about office. Saturday morning you give breakfast, he will complain. What is this you have given? And itna kaam karte hain, ek, you know, acha breakfast bhi nahi milte hain. Only one day I have a decent breakfast, that also you are not able to give. Like this complaint will be there. Same, what is that? Sandwich or same cereal with milk. So why can't you make Saturday some dosa, idli or upma or something? So they will complain. Why? Because his mind is there. Rest of the days, Monday to Friday, his mind is not there. Whatever you give, he is ready to take, isn't it? So this ability to experience, interact with the world, with the senses, this is because of the power of the Lord. So that infinite Lord is not behind us. None of the experience is possible. No interaction with the world is possible. Therefore, Bhagavan says, in that respect also we can take the meaning. Otherwise also, that is that the power for the devatas to bless has come from the Lord. Therefore, mayeva vihitan hitan. Now, there are certain people who are intelligent thinkers. They will observe that all the, even though you propitiate the Lord and you get your desired object, but then what happened? Those blessings are not permanent. They don't last long. That's why in Puranas also, devatas or the asuras, they propitiate Lord, they come and bless them. Then what happened? After some time, the power is gone. And Bhagavan comes and take away from it, from them, because they become a terror. They become the terrorist afterwards. Once they get power, they become terrorist. So then Bhagavan has to come and then take away from them all that. So also, whatever power that you got with the blessings of the devata, it doesn't last long. And once you know this, and this is true with all the sense pleasures in life. See, if you observe, there are three doshams are there in every objective experience in the world. One is called Dukkha Mishritattva. Say, our experience, whatever experience that we have through interacting with the object in the world, what happened? No experience is free from dukkha. Do you agree that? Whatever it is. If it is indulgence through our body, what happens? Rogam. Bhoge rogabhayam. When we indulge in this, when you are young, you don't know the consequences. We go and indulge whatever that is there. And sometimes we keep on watching TV, like that, keep on watching, and then there are so many interesting episodes are there, and then 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you don't sleep. Then what happened as a result? It affects your eyesight. Anything like that. So, bhoge rogabhayam. So, dukkha mishritattvam is one defect. Whatever experience, however exalted your experience may be, it is riddled with dukkham. It is no pure sukham in any worldly experiences. Our Gurudev used to say it is something like you are eating chocolate with a wrapper. Put the chocolate in the mouth, it will give you some chocolate taste. But then what happened? The wrapper taste also comes. That is called dukkha. Dukkha mishritattvam is a one defect. The second is, however much you indulge, atriptikarattvam. See, it will never give you the complete satisfaction. Think about it. We have been doing this for so many years, but are you contented, happy with that? No, you want more. Isn't it? More and more our mind demands. Even though the body doesn't agree with it, but still our mind demands that experience, isn't it? So this is called atriptikarattvam, second problem. The third one is bandhana karanattvam. Even though the experience is short, but the bondage is permanent. The bondage that is created by the experience is permanent. You must have taken that. What is that? What coffee is famous here? Starbucks. I think in Canada there is something called second cup. So we will go for a second cup, that's the idea. Very addictive, it seems. And there are drive-up also. So that once you take that, the joy of drinking coffee is very short, isn't it? Maximum what? You sip a coffee, how long it will take. If it is in South India, hot coffee. Kumbakonam and all that, if you go there, the Devara is there. And that itself is hot. In that they will take drink coffee. It's only 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, you can finish. But other places they will slowly, with the cup and saucer and all that, it's very sophisticated way. You may sip and then it takes time, half an hour maybe, that's all. But the experience of drinking coffee may last only half an hour maximum. But what happens is that memory of that particular coffee experience remains in the subconscious and it makes you go for it again and again. So much so that your car will automatically go to that shop. The drive-in. There are some coffee shops, there are drive-in coffees, isn't it? Gaadi apne aap chale jaate hai wahan. So then after ordering the coffee only realize we are here. So this is called bandhanam. Bandhana karanattam. So these are the three defects in every worldly experience. Dukkha mishridattvam, then the atriptikarattvam, third one is bandhana karanattvam. These are the three defects. And if one observes this, one becomes sensitive enough to observe this, he will seek a solution. Is there an experience which is free from all these three defects? This thought will come to him. We are not even aware of these three problems. We go through experiences mechanically. If we go through experiences mechanically, we will not grow. The growth and maturity is possible only when we analyze our experience, we observe our experience, we become alert with reference to our experiences. Only then we can absorb that and learn from it. Even though it is a happy experience or unhappy experience, all of them has certain message for us. And that message is available only when you are available for the experience. If you go through experiences mechanically, then what happened? We will not grow. That's why physically we may grow, but mentally we are still child. So that is the problem. So Bhagavan says, continue. Antavat. Tu phalam tesham tatthavatyalpa medasam devan devayajo yanti matbhakta yanti mamapi. The fruit of all action, whether it is a noble action or ignoble action, the phalam, the fruit, come to an end. Antavattu phalam tesham. Antavate vinashitu phalam tesham. Tatpati alpamevasam. Short-sighted people, they do not think about it. So every result of any action is limited. Phalam means what? Perishable. Perishable means what? You don't have to do anything. It automatically gets destroyed, isn't it? That is called phalam. Phalkudaya liyate anena iti phalam. So that which is subject to destruction in time is called phalam, fruits. Fruits, you don't have to do anything. You keep it there, automatically get destroyed, isn't it? The same way, all karma phalas are also subject to destruction. It comes to an end. There is a beginning, there is an end. So, alpamevdasam, and people who are short-sighted, they go for it because they look for immediate joy. So here our Shankaracharya writes a very beautiful commentary. Evam samane api ayase mam evana prapatyante ananta phalaya aho khalu kashtataram vartate ityanukrosham darshayati bhagavan. Bhagavan is lamenting. Anukrosham darshayati. Bhagavan himself is frustrated looking at us. When I am there, standing there to give you the infinite phalam result, why people are settling only for small ends? Samane ayase abhi. The effort is the same. It is not that you have to put forth extra effort. See, suppose the same effort you can get $10,000 or $1 million for the same effort. Why don't you settle for, why are you settling for only 10,000? Why can't you think of that $1 million? This is Bhagavan's question. See, in India, olden times, marriage used to take place 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, like that. Nowadays, wedding and all that, very fast. Especially in America, the wedding is always on a Saturday. I don't know why. Saturday, I think India, nobody gets married. But here, that is a, you can get a cheap hotel rate or something, whatever it is. And that also, afternoon, unholy time. 1:30 is a muhurtam. Every wedding. And then after the muhurtam is over, then, you know, immediately evening they can have the reception and all that. And one wedding I was attending in California, this beautiful hotel. And this pujari did all the rituals. And in wedding time, people don't watch the wedding rituals at all. They're all busy socializing. But poor bride and bridegroom, they have no choice. They have to sit there and go through the rituals. And there is one particular ritual that is Arundhati Darshanam. Now, husband has to show Arundhati Nakshatram. Now, in the hotel, in the midday, where he will go to show Arundhati. So, but they devised a method now. So, he projected in the dome of the building, the whole sky he projected. And then there are stars. Saptarishi is also he was shown. And Arundhati was shown there. You see, how innovative our modern techniques. So that is all nowadays wedding. Olden days they used to have they rent a chatram and the bride's party will go there and start making sweets. See, first they must start making Mysore Pak, Laddu, Jalebi, all kinds of sweet they make. Badshah. Bengal, what is that called? Sandesh. That, all these things they make. And one mama will be in charge for that, uncle. And he will keep everything in a small room with a lock. And the lock is in his genoi type. The key will be in his genoi. Naturally, children are there, their families, their children will be there. They will be playing outside. One day, before the mama was closing the door, one little sweet-looking child came and asked him, "Mama, give me some sweet." So the mama went inside and one bundi laddu, he took one and then took one pinch out of that. And one pinch he gave it to her. And the children have got a habit, you know, they don't eat alone. They eat in front of all other children. So the children ask, "Where did you get it?" "Mama." So before mama locked the door, there's a line. Now he went inside and powdered so many laddus and then took one pinch, he gave it to one child. There was one guy who was waiting last. He tried to give him that one pinch. He refused to take that. Why? Then what do you want? He said, I want the key to this room. says. This is what Bhagavan says. Samane ayase. Standing the line is the same, isn't it? Why settle for one pinch? I want the whole thing. So aim for big. Aim for infinity. Don't settle for finitude. This is what Bhagavan says. Why? Andavattubalam desham. Devan devayajo yanti matbhakta yanti mamabhi. People who worship finite God, they will reach him. They will reach him means they will be blessed by them. And the one who seek moksha, that is Paramatma, infinite Lord, they will attain mukti, permanent. Mukti means permanent freedom from all bondages. That is called mukti. Now, Bhagavan said, why do they not resort to that infinite truth, Krishna? Said, avyaktam vyaktimapannam. Manyante mama buddhayah. Param bhava majanantaha. Mama vyayamanuttamam. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam. Manyante mam abuddhayaha. Abuddhayaha means fools ityartha. Avivekinaha. Abhuta. So it seems in Bhagavatam there is a story that Kamsa was driving the chariot of Devaki and Vasudeva on their wedding day. And as he was driving, he heard a voice from the heaven. And what was the first word? Hey, Abhuta. And nobody looked up, it seems. Only Kamsa looked up. Oh, fool, that was the address. None of them looked up, only Kamsa looked up. So he was a fool. Here also, Abhuddhayaha. So, Mom, Abhuddhayaha. The person who doesn't know me. Abhuddhaya. Sandam Abhuddhaya. Ishwaram api santam. Nitya prasiddham Ishwaram api santam abuddhaya. Even though the Lord is famous, nitya prasiddham, so it is self-evident, it is evident, manifest all the time, but still they consider it is not prasiddham, present. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam. Even though I am ever present, Lord, manyante mamavadeya. Param bhavam ajanandaha mamavyayam anuttamam. So they look at me, even though my nature is unmanifest. And avyayam, immutable, is the nature of myself. But when I manifest in the form, like Krishna or Rama, incarnate as a particular form, they look at me as I am only this, this much. Even Krishna's time, not everybody accept Krishna as Bhagavan. Jarasandha never considered Bhagavan as Bhagavan. He thought that he was a coward, darpok, ranchot, all these name he used to use for him. And Duryodhana never considered Krishna as Bhagavan. He gave maximum credit to him as a magician. That is all. David Copperfield. Utna credit de diya hai. That because they don't know his higher nature. Now this is very beautiful verse. This is applicable to us also. You see, we have identified with our physical body and our mind and intellect, and we consider ourselves limited. We consider ourselves jiva and alpatnaha, alpashaptiman, alpavyapi. Everything is alpam, alpam, alpam only. Limited, limited, limited. But whereas parambhavam, our real nature is what? That omniscient, omnipotent Lord. Infinite is my nature. This, our absolute nature, we have forgotten completely. So also, Bhagavan says, this avivekinaha parambhavam paramatmasvarupam ajanantaha avivekinaha mama avyayam viyarahitam anuttamam niradishayam madiyam bhavam ajanantaha manyante ityartaha. They do not know my real glory, real nature. That's why Bhagavan came down and played with the world like an ordinary person. See, look at that. Bhagavan himself became an ordinary driver to Arjuna. See. And nobody could have thought that that infinite Lord of the universe, who is Srishtikarta, Siddhikarta, Layakarta, that Bhagavan is now what? Driving the chariot. So his activity sometime makes you delude to think that he is very ordinary. But what is his real nature? That is that absolute truth. That's why Bhishma Pitamaha in his Bhishma Stuti is one of the most beautiful stutis in Bhagavatam. When he saw Lord Krishna in the battlefield, when he was lying down in the bed of arrows, and Bhagavan took Yudhishthira to see him, and Bhishma Pitamaha said, please come and stand in front of me because I cannot turn my head, because it then Arjuna put three arrows to lift the head like a pillow. And he gave water also, Gangajal he brought, and then he was refreshed. And with the look of Bhagavan, all his pain in the body disappeared. And then he demanded from Krishna that you stand in front of me with your four hands, Shankha Chakra Gadadhari, that also smiling face. That you should stand. Then there is this beautiful stuti is there. He said, Krishna, everybody think that you have favored Pandava. But I don't think you are favoring Pandavas. Actually, you are favoring Kauravas. How? Because he was sitting, he was standing in the chariot, not even sitting, standing in the chariot with the horse's reins in his hand. And every Kauravas, when they were shot by the arrows of Arjuna, then they are falling down. Who do they see? They see Krishna. Those people who had the bless, who had this ability to see Bhagavan before dying, they will reach Bhagavan. So it was blessing to the Kaurava army. That's why in Ramayana also there is a scene, very beautiful scene. After Rama Ravana Yuddha is over, Bhagavan killed Ravana. And all the devatas were so much relieved. And they all came and praised Ramchandraji. Lord Shiva, Brahmaji, devatas, different devatas, rishis, yakshas, kinnaras, gandharvas, everyone. Finally, this Indra Devata was standing behind. Because he was hesitating to come to the front of Bhagavan. Because he never helped Bhagavan, you see. Because of the fear of Ravana, he had doubt. Suppose Bhagavan is not able to conquer him or kill him, this fellow will take revenge on me. So let me not help. That was his thinking. So when he was killed, he was relieved. So he came forward and he said, Bhagavan, I could not help you. Sorry, but I want to help you now. Bhagavan said, okay, if you want to help, do one thing. These monkeys who fought for me, they died in the battlefield. Now I want them to come back to life. So go and get some amrut from heaven and sprinkle on these dead bodies. So they will be revived. So Indra Devata went and he brought amrita kalasham. And when he was about to sprinkle, he realized, he looked at Bhagavan, Bhagavan, there is a problem. Now what is the problem? See, the dead body in the battlefield, it is not separate. The monkey's dead body is also there, and on top of it, asuras' dead bodies are also there. So suppose you sprinkle, the asuras also get up. Then it will be a problem. Again, Bhagavan will have to kill them. Bhagavan said, no, don't worry. You sprinkle. And when he sprinkled amrut, who came? Only monkeys got up. Asuras did not get up. Why? It's a very big, beautiful question and discussion also there. The reason Tulsidaji says, all asuras, they merged with Bhagavan. Why? Because before falling down in the battlefield, they saw, they had darshan of Bhagavan, you see. How can they be not liberated? Monkeys are this side, they cannot see Bhagavan, you see. But the asuras are opposite side, they could see the Lord. That's a very beautiful episode. So, this Bhishma Pitamaha says, you have blessed the Kauravas with your very presence. Standing there with a smiling face, you have been blessing all those soldiers falling down in the battlefield. Now, this appreciation only Bhishma Pitamaha can appreciate that. Not Duryodhana or anybody else. So this is the greatness. So even though Bhagavan's presence itself is enough, because he's that infinite Lord. But unless a person who is able to appreciate that, they will not be able to know the glory of Bhagavan. Because sometimes people ask me also, how do you recognize a Jivan Mukta Purusha? How do you know this person is Jivan Mukta? Is there any? Of course, there are lakshanas in second chapter. Jivan Mukta lakshana is given. Siddhaprat lakshana is given. 18 verses are given there. But then people generally ask, can you just briefly tell, you know, what exactly? Once somebody, I remember, somebody asked this question to Gurudev. So Gurudev looked at him and said, do one thing. If you see a Jivan Mukta Purusha, take a gun and shoot him. If he is still alive, go and prostrate him. Because that's the language we understand. See, to appreciate a Jivan Mukta Purusha, you should be somewhere near him. Because we project everyone from our mental standpoint. See, if you want to appreciate a nuclear scientist, you should know something about nuclear science. Only then you will be able to say, it is wonderful, he is great, isn't it? It is something like a taxi driver in Bombay. He said, I don't believe in atom bomb. Now, what can you tell him? He doesn't believe in atom. He says, there is nothing called atom bomb. It doesn't exist. He has no idea what it is. Same way, you and I try to judge a Jivan Mukta Purusha. How is it possible? Because we don't have a norm for judgment, you see. Our standard is totally different. Our mind is not evolved. So we don't know. We think it is very ordinary. That's why in Panchatantra there is a story. A Mahatma was walking on the road and he suddenly fell into a trance. Samadhi avastha, and he fell down on the ground. He was lying on the side of the road. And a drunkard came, he was drunk, measuring the road. He had half bottle in his hand, half bottle in his stomach. Zigzag he was walking. And when he saw this sadhu lying down, he stopped there and said, aha, you had too much to drink, right? See, look at me, I am still on my feet. Saying that, he poured some more, alcohol on his face and walked away. Second came a thief running away from the police. He also stopped there and said, aha, you are a thief. You are just pretending that you cannot run. The first thing you have to learn as a thief is to run. Don't pretend that you are lying down. So he gave an advice and walked away. Third came another Mahatma when he saw the bright, brilliant face on, tejas on the face of this Mahatma lying down. He lifted his head and put it on his lap and started massaging his feet. Seva. And this was watched by two birds on the tree. And she said, only a Mahatma can recognize another Mahatma. So, they are not able to recognize Bhagavan because it's not their fault, because they have not evolved. So, same thing applicable to subjectively also, that we are not able to appreciate our higher nature because of our attachment to our lower nature. Bhagavan talked about para-prakriti, apara-prakriti. We are so much attached to our apara-prakriti, lower nature. Therefore, we are not able to lift our mind and think of the para-prakriti, our higher nature. And this is what we have to contemplate upon, ever revel in it. Only then the contentment will come to us. Otherwise, however successful we are in the material world, there will be always a sense of fear and insecurity. So in order to gain that contentment, fullness, we have to start directing our mind to know our real nature. Continuing, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. Yoga Maya Samavritaha. Mūṭhoyam nābhijānāti. Mūṭhoyam nābhijānāti. லோகோ மாமஜமௌவ்யயம். நாஹம் பிரகாஷ சர்வஸ்ய, ஐ ஆம் நாட் ரிவீல் டு த ஹோல் வேர்ல்ட். சர்வஸ்ய த ஹோல் வேர்ல்ட். வாய் பிகாஸ் யோகமாயா சமாவிரதா வீல்டு பாய் தி டெலூசி பவர் ஆஃப் யோகமாயா. பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் திஸ் யோகமாயா கவரிங் தேர் விஷன், ஐ ஆம் நாட் the available for everybody. I am not revealed to everyone. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samahrutaha moodhoyam napi janati loko mam ajam avyayam. Deluded world knows not me. I am that unborn immutable lord. தே டூ நாட் நோ மூடஹா லோகஹா அயம் ந அபிஜானாதி மாம் அஜம் அவ்யயம். மை ரியல் நேச்சர் இஸ் அஜம் அன்பான் அண்ட் இம்யூட்டபிள். பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் யோகமாயா சமாவிரதா, யோகமாயா அதுவா பகவதா சித்த சமாதான யோகா தத்கிருதா மாயா யோகமாயா. So veiled by the delusive power of yoga maya, maya doesn't allow you to have clear darshan of Bhagavan. But without blessing of maya, you cannot have complete darshan also, both. So maya here means what? Our mind. Maya doesn't allow you to go beyond mind. Our mind doesn't allow you to go beyond mind. But if the mind is purified and made sattvic, then what happened? The very same mind will let you experience the truth. Let you go beyond this maya. So this is what Bhagavan says. Yeah. So mama maya duratya, earlier he said that. தெய்வீகேஷா குணமயி மம மாயா துரத்தியா மாமேவையே பிரபத்தியந்தே மாயாமே தாம் தரந்திதே. ஸோ தோஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ சரண்டர் டு பகவான், சரண்டரிங் டு பகவான் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? அப்ரிஷியேட்டிங் த ப்ரெசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் லார்ட் இன் அஸ். திஸ் இஸ் வாட் வி ஹாவ் டு ரிமெம்பர். பிகாஸ் யூ மே appreciate it while listening to the talk, but the moment you get up from your seat looking for your slippers, you forget. No. While walking out from here also, you should remember that there is a presence of Lord in me. That is why I am able to get up, I am able to look for my slipper, I am able to put on it, I am able to walk out of this hall. This awareness we should have. And if you are aware of this, your life will totally change. This is called divine life. Divinizing your life. Then what is that? You feel joyous. There is no more what you call dissipation of energy. You feel energetic, enthusiastic, cheerful, a fountain of joy you discover within yourself. And everything in this world becomes meaningless to you. It doesn't mean that you will not have everything. You can have everything, but if it is lost or it is gained, it doesn't make any difference to you. This bhavaha, naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavradaha moodhoyam nabhijanati lokaha mam ajam avyayam. My real nature is not known. Aja means unborn. Avyayam, immutable. In order to make changes, there should be qualities, attributes. The one Lord who is free from all attributes cannot have any change. He is the same all the time. Childhood, youthhood, old age, all avasthas, truth is one and the same. It doesn't have any change. This appreciation, one who has, he is free from all limitations, he is Jivan Mukta Purushaha. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more verses. We'll complete it tomorrow, and they have some presentation for you. So I will stop here today. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.